A president who attacks elites, hates the media, makes claims of election fraud, and faces allegations of having colluded with a foreign government. We're talking about President Richard Nixon, who called the press lousy, dirty, cowardly bastards, claimed a connection with the forgotten man of America, and opened up a back channel to the president of South Vietnam during the Vietnam War. Nixon also claimed to be the law and order candidate in 1968 when he accepted the Republican nomination for the presidency.
To those who say that law and order is a code word for racism, there and here is a reply. Our goal is justice. Justice for every American. If we are to have respect for law in America, we must have laws that deserve respect.
Well, that's a theme that President Donald Trump echoed. Here he is in July at the Republican National Convention.
In this race for the White House, I am the law and order candidate.
Well, this is all part of a new biography of Richard Nixon from biographer and former Boston Globe White House correspondent John Farrell. His book is called Richard Nixon, The Life. And when I spoke with him recently, I started by asking Farrell why a new Nixon book now.
There was a new audience and there was a fire hose worth of fire hydrant worth of new material. It's kind of hard for we baby boomers to deal with, but two-thirds of the American population were either not born or not living in the United States when Richard Nixon left office. And the millennials now are the single biggest generation, and they know Nixon only as a caricature on The Simpsons. So I really wanted to reach out to them and give them one volume that incorporates all the new material that's come out in the last 20 years that they can go to if they have a little bit more interest in the real guy.
Okay, so I want to get to some of the amazing new details that you uncover in the book. But before we do, I mean, we more than intimated that people are talking about Nixon now also vis-a-vis President Donald Trump. I mean, is that a fair comparison to make to our current president?
As somebody said the other day that we've had marches in the streets, allegations of eavesdropping, break-ins at the DNC. It's like we have the Nixon administration on speed dial because it took Nixon 2.5 years to go from Watergate to resignation, and we've had all this in only 6 weeks with Donald Trump. Personally, aside from a certain grandiosity, which is evident on Nixon's tapes and Trump's tweets, they're very different men. But the number of coincidences in their administrations is amazing. And I think also they both have a political way of trying to tap on people's grievances, on the dark side of people, on their fears, racial fears or economic fears or fears about class. And I think that pretty much sums up their similarities and differences.
I want to get to one of the things which that you uncover in the book, which is just... I mean, it's stunning that nobody really knew, I guess, about Nixon before you published it. And in order to introduce it, I first want to display a little tape. This is from 1969. This is November 1969 when President Richard Nixon is giving a speech on the Vietnam War, and he advocated for troop reductions but a continuation of fighting. So here's President Nixon.
Let historians not record that when America was the most powerful nation in the world, we passed on the other side of the road and allowed the last hopes for peace and freedom of millions of people to be suffocated by the forces of totalitarianism. And so tonight, to you, the great silent majority of my fellow Americans, I ask for your support.
The silent majority speech. But the thing you uncovered is what Nixon did the year before in 1968.
It's a remarkable piece of the puzzle I was able to chance upon in my research. It had always been rumored that Nixon had approached the Nixon campaign had approached the South Vietnamese in October 68 and tried to scuttle Lyndon Johnson's peace initiative by telling them that if they just held on a little bit longer, they would get a better deal when Nixon took office. And indeed, what I found was notes that of a conversation between Nixon barking orders to his chief of staff, H.R. Bob Haldeman, telling them that we got to get work on the South Vietnamese, tell them to drag their feet. We're going to monkey wrench these talks. So as I said, it had long been rumored that this happened. And in fact, Lyndon Johnson had been tapping the phones of the South Vietnamese embassy and had proof that it was happened. But we never could put the words actually in Nixon's mouth. And that was able to do in the book.
This is stunning.
Well, it's for a biographer, it's amazing because it really shows the moral character of the man, that he was willing to put so many lives at stake for this expedient political reason. And you can't say what would have happened if he hadn't done this, that there would have been peace. You can't make that decision. But we do know that there were so many lives at stake. 2 million Cambodians, 1 million South Vietnamese boat people, and 20,000 more Americans died in Nixon's first term.
I mean, does that not qualify as treason? Am I going too far in saying that? Like he said he's going to scuttle peace talks.
In this conversation that we're having right now about Russiagate and Trump, you will hear something called the Logan Act popped up from time to time. And the Logan Act is this very obscure law that was passed by the founding fathers, actually. And it says that Americans are not supposed to interfere in the diplomacy of the country with their own private diplomacy. And obviously that's what Nixon did. And it's possible that somebody on the Trump team did that as well, interceding with the Russians last fall.
Huh. Well, I mean, we could spend our whole time just talking about Vietnam and Nixon. But there are so many other fascinating aspects about his presidency and about his approach to power. Right. Nixon famously hated the press, right? He may not have ever, I mean, he didn't have Twitter, but but I don't think he actually ever, did he ever utter his disdain for the press as President Trump has had?
Almost word for word. There's a famous quote from Nixon on the tapes where he says, "Henry, write this down. The press is the enemy. The press is the enemy. The press is the enemy."
But he said that privately, though.
He said that privately. Yeah. The tapes and the tweets to me are like, they're both glimpses into presidential ids. And so that's the comparison that I like to make. But it's true. Nixon was, he would go to a press conference towards the end of his term and actually say, you know, "Don't think that you people out there have gotten me angry, because in order to be angry, you have to respect the person who's going to get you angry." So he was pretty icy with the press, but he never went as far as to try to convince the American people that the press is the enemy of the American people.
You know, we are, I think, rightfully spending time on many of the highly controversial aspects of President Nixon's tenure in the White House. But, I mean, you also do write about some of his accomplishments, right? Like that he signed into law increases for Social Security, a 20% jump under Nixon, more money for education. He declared war on cancer, asked Congress to double arts funding. Also, maybe people don't realize this, but he had a significant environmental legacy as well. The National Environmental Policy Act, the Clean Air Act. He established, you know, other environmental major landmarks in the United States. So these aren't things that we usually associate with Nixon as a president.
No. The major environmental groups were polled several years back about who was the greatest green president, and they came in with Teddy Roosevelt first and Nixon second. He established the EPA, and it's sort of ironic to see this fellow who's president now, who says to be an admirer of president, dismantling the environmental protection. But the phrase that I use continually in the book is "and yet," because for almost everything despicable at Nixon, you can find something that's laudatory as well. And he invented, or his administration invented, affirmative action. And his administration was the biggest desegregator of Southern schools. And yet, he was also the creator of the Southern strategy that gave the South, through a thinly disguised racism, over to the Republican Party. So a very controversial character. It was a lot of fun making my way through those different alleyways of his mind.
Well, I want to play one more piece of tape, because regardless of President Nixon's accomplishments, I think there's pretty much one moment which in the popular mind of the United States defines him.
People have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
That came after a particularly awkward moment. And Nixon actually established sort of the precedent of presidents showing their income tax returns, which Donald Trump has now dashed. But it was turned out that Nixon had taken a $400,000 tax break on his vice presidential papers that had been backdated by an aide, and he had to answer questions about that. You're right. But again, and yet, his final closing speech before he left the White House to get on the helicopter to go away, where he talks about never hate people because once you hate them, then they've won and you destroy yourself. It's just a wonderful, moving piece of Americana as well. So very complex guy. He doesn't fit easily into today's left and right. He sort of floats all by himself like an asteroid in space. And the Democrats will never forgive him, and the right has never adopted him since Reagan.
So let me ask you. I mean, of course, there's also Watergate, and that another famous phrase, "Cover up is worse than the crime."
Yep.
How much does how Americans' attitudes about the presidency were transformed by Richard Nixon inform how we view all the tumult going on with the Trump presidency right now?
Absolutely. Nixon's downfall and the government investigations that followed, the Church Committee, showed a tremendous amount of wrongdoing by Americans' presidents. And this great faith that they had put in the presidency during the Cold War sort of frittered away. I would say that we're returning to that right now. I don't know what the Trump people have done, but they're acting like they have something that they want to cover up, just like Nixon.
Well, the new biography is Richard Nixon, A Life. It's by John A. Farrell. It's been such a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so very much.
Glad to be here.